There is a handout sheet in the bulletin if you do care to follow along. Hey, thank you, sir. You're a good man. Wow. Thanks, Bear. See, now I got them both here. Okay. I see the clock's back. That's good. That was awful dangerous last week not to have a clock up front. So that was good. Get this open. Started a couple weeks ago, and I thought we'd just spend some time looking at the Lord Jesus Christ, seeing who He is, all the different ways that He is, oh my, presented to us in Scripture, and all the different passages about Him. And for me, it's been a blessing already. When we began to talk and you say, okay, how do you figure this out? Where do you start? I started with the name above all names. In the book of Acts, where Peter and John are going to the temple, and the guy was laying there, and he was lame and was expecting some kind of a financial gift from them. And they said, well, we're broke, but here's what we can do. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And said, the power in the name of Jesus. What a tremendous thought. And how much it caused a stir in the area of that. And that name of Jesus is still powerful today. Jesus is still changing lives today. It is by that name that we're saved. It is by that name that sanctification takes place in our life and we grow. And it is by that name that we live for Him. Amen? And then last week we talked about the fact that He's the all-sufficient Savior. And when you think about that, we went to the passage where it says that we are literally yoked with Him. And His yoke fits perfectly. And we looked at, investigated some things there. And sometimes I don't think we really grasp the sufficiency of the Lord Jesus Christ for our everyday walk and the challenges that we face. And so, but now today we're going to look at this idea where the Scripture presents the Lord Jesus Christ as the Good Shepherd. And I can't help but draw attention to the back stained glass window. And it seems like the Lord has illuminated it for us at this moment with this bright sunshine. And that is Jesus, the Good Shepherd. And so I look at that every Sunday and I'm reminded that He is the Good Shepherd. So as we start today, we just look at it this way, very simply. First of all, if He's going to be the Good Shepherd, that means that we are the sheep, and sheep need a shepherd. That's what it comes down to. I know. Right off the bat, we can think about the world we live in, and so being an American is different than any culture from around the world, okay? And sometimes being an American, some things are built in that are going to be challenges for us when we consider the fact that we do have a person of authority in our life. And you might think, well, that's the preacher, that's the deacons, and that's the trustees. No, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the shepherd. And we've been taught ever since we were little about, you know, independence and this idea of a work ethic, a strong work ethic, and that, you know, we make opportunities and all of that stuff. And I'm not saying that that's bad. I'm just saying that that is going to bring some challenges in my walk with God. Because when we look at this idea that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd, that means that I am a sheep. Now, you have to realize this, is that if we consider a sheep, a lamb, that's not necessarily a point of pride. You know, you might think of a majestic, roaring lion. And, you know, Tom Tice just got back from Tanzania, and I guess they went on a safari, and he tried to send me a video where they were on safari and saw a lion, but it was too pixeled and I couldn't see it, so I'm hoping to see it on his phone where it's probably a much better copy of it. But, you know, you might think of, an eagle. An eagle soars majestically. And so, but the Bible talks about us as sheep. And if anything about sheep, sheep are really, and I can't say really enough, really needy animals. And so here we are, we're all sheep. So what does that mean? It's just like, well, I can't find in that designation a whole lot of strength. I can't find in that designation a point where, wow, it is just incredible, I'm a sheep. No, I find in that a fact that I desperately need a shepherd. And that's putting it mildly. The lot in life of any particular sheep depended on the type of shepherd who owned it. Now, I find that interesting. Because when I look at this, and I was studying it at first, I'm thinking, okay, well, am I just going to get up and say, Jesus is the good shepherd 50 times, we'll pray and we'll go home? Oh, no, I thought there were some study materials I used introduced some interesting concepts. And this is the first one. The lot in life of any particular sheep depended on the type of shepherd who owned it. So, okay, here we are, we're sheep. Who is the shepherd who owns us? That's what we're going to investigate here for a few moments. Some shepherds were gentle, kind, intelligent, brave, and selfless in their devotion to the flock. Others would be harsh, self-centered, and careless. Under a shepherd that would be harsh, self-centered, and careless, the sheep would struggle. They would starve. They would have endless hardship. Under a caring shepherd, they would flourish and thrive. And thrive with great contentment. I say all those words on purpose because here's the thing. How many times do I find myself nervous? How many times do I find in my life where I'm just not contented? Come on now, amen? You're loved. Yeah. Well, let's look at number two. If the Lord is my shepherd, I should know something of His character and ability. We are going to look now at the Good Shepherd. We're going to be looking at some things about His character and His ability. Because this is who He is. He is our shepherd. Is He? I keep wanting to do this. But I think it's a parable of the talents where the one was given one talent and he went and he digged and he hid it in the earth. You remember that parable? Do you remember that this morning? And when the Lord comes back and he receives those that he gave the five talents and the two talents and the one talent, the one came with five and said, I've got five others, and they rejoiced. And the one had two. He said, hey, I got two others, and they rejoiced. And the one guy, do you remember what he said? I know that thou art a harsh master. I wonder, as a sheep, how do I see the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, if the Lord is my shepherd, I should know something of His character and His ability. Here's a good exercise to do, and I used to do it all the time as a child. I don't do it as much anymore, but it's the perfect time of year to do it because it's summertime. But it's when we used to sleep out as kids. Do you remember? Do you ever do that? Did you ever sleep out as kids? We don't do that anymore because we live in a world where it's just nuts, okay? But man, we used to sleep outside, and here's what you got to do. You'd lay down, okay? You'd lay down, and did you ever do this? You'd just look up into that evening sky. You got your sleeping bag there, and if you were lucky, you got a pillow, and boy, I'll tell you what, you can't even count the stars, can you? You can't even count those stars. And it just seems just absolutely incredible, doesn't it? Now, I know, you older ones, you just got to get in a lawn chair, but don't lean back too far, they're going to have the ambulance there. Do you know? But try that. Go outside some night this week after dark and just look at that expanse. And then you realize this is this, and this is A, first of all, Come on, eh? There we go. Christ the Creator. I am immediately reminded of His majesty and might as I look up into that night sky. You know what? You don't have to look far in this world to see the glory of God. Amen? I might have to be reminded to look at it on purpose, but you don't have to look far. My, oh my. Where were we at the other day? But I was getting directions to come home. And I talked into my phone, and it brought it up. And it brought a street view picture of my house up. I'm thinking, man, they know a whole lot more about me than I want them to know. And so when I had a couple minutes, I brought it up again. And sure enough, I brought that picture up. Yeah, it's my house. And you can slide all the way around it. It's just like, wow. They never get one of me sitting out front waving, though. I wish they could do that, you know. But we have the ability to see pictures from around the world of some of the most awesome, beautiful pictures of landscape. And what is it? Christ the Creator. He spoke this into existence. I find this incredible. See, it is the Lord Jesus Christ who brought into being all that had been originally formulated in the Father's mind. And so that's His ability. That is the ability of our shepherd. In the daytime, we can look at it and we can ooh and ah of His spectacular creation, His power in creation. At night, we can gaze into the night sky and realize that this is incredible. It's an exercise that we can do to be reminded immediately of His majesty and might. And then when we go from there, then we go to be Christ the Shepherd. Christ the Creator of such an enormous universe of overwhelming magnitude. He wants to be called. He agrees to call Himself my Shepherd. Isn't that incredible? When you think about that, it's just like, I feel like I'm the red-headed stepchild in the room, and God says, I love you, and I want to be your shepherd. Amen? And I never have to be without Him. And that's what it is. He agrees to call Himself my shepherd and invites me to consider myself His sheep. That's what it's all about. As we look at this passage, look at verse 11 again. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. And so that's His character. That's His ability. He desires to be our shepherd. And I have the opportunity to relish in the fact that I am His sheep. You know, there's a lot of important people running around. At least they think they're important. I can remember when I was in Malawi, and I forget, was it Obama was president then? Or was it George Bush? I'm not sure. Whoever was president was there. And you know what? They blocked off roads and we had to hold up what we were doing because we couldn't get anywhere near that area. Because they were important people. Now you might say, well, why would you say that? Because a lot of people think they're important. And I guess according to the world standards, they are. But they are impossible to have a sit down with unless it's going to further something for them. Correct? Amen? I'm not trying to be political. That's just a fact. I mean, you take national preachers. You go to their churches are thousands, and you can't even, if you waited in line half a day, you couldn't have no time to spend with them. And yet, Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, comes to me, comes to you, that we can talk to him in a moment's notice. Amen? He is our shepherd, and we are his sheep. And so, hey, we're getting through this pretty quick. We're on number three already. But number three is the bulk of the sermon, okay? So I'm not going to lead you on here, okay? But it goes real quick because it's just this wonderful stuff to talk about. I don't have a lot of stories today. I told the stories in the beginning, you know. That as the sheep, we enjoy being the object of his affection and attention. So now what we're going to do is we've established his character. We've established his ability. Now, what does he do for the sheep? This shepherd, he's not a harsh shepherd. He's not self-centered. He's not afraid. As we read in the passage there, the hireling, prey come to do damage to the sheep. The wolf, what happens? The hireling, they're gone, right? So we have a shepherd. He has this ability. He has the character. What are we going to talk about? We need to ask ourselves this question. Who better could care for me? Isn't that wonderful? You know, the older I get, I start thinking about that stuff, don't you? Yeah. You know. It's just like, and I'm not really that old. I know I'm not 27 like Molly, but I mean, but anyways. I do go places now where I'm starting to be the oldest person in the room, though. That's starting to bother me a little bit. And it's not daycare either, okay? So, but anyways, this. Now, whether we want to admit it or not, sheep are very needy creatures. I want you to turn to Psalm 23 here. And Psalm 23 is in, and we usually read them, and I read them at funerals because I think it's so comforting. But it's more than a funeral passage. Psalm 23, if you look at Psalm 23, you'll see that it was written by David. And you say, well, why would that make any difference? Well, first of all, because David was a shepherd. When you read how David, when Samuel came to anoint the next king of Israel, and he went to the house of Jesse, and Jesse lines up all his boys, and Samuel walks down through, and, you know, it's like the Lord said, nope, 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 nope. And he gets to the end of the line, there's no one there, and it's just like, well, Jesse, is this all the kids you got? He goes, well, David, he's out. He's out in the pasture. He's taking care of the sheep. Brings him in. So David was a shepherd. He knew. When David went up against Goliath, you know, he tried to put on Saul's armor, right? That's a great story. And he's standing there, and I'm thinking to myself, yep, you know, a size 5 boy and a size 44 armor, you know. And he goes down there with a slingshot, and handful of stones, but what did he say? It was his shepherding experience that qualified him to go up against the mightiest man of the Philistines. But now watch this. David, in Psalm 23, he is not the shepherd. He is saying, the Lord is my shepherd. Also, David was known as the shepherd king of Israel. And even as the shepherd king of Israel, he still says, the Lord is my shepherd. Watch this. We'll never get so big that we don't need the shepherd. Amen? Isn't that a wonderful principle? Yet sometimes what happens? Pride gets in our heart and life, doesn't it? Yeah, I'll tell you what. Pride is a sneaky rascal. Do you know what I think pride's like? Did you ever see, I don't know what they're called, and maybe there is a word for them, but the real tiny ants. The real tiny ants that can find their way in your house all the time. And you can spray, and you can pull all kinds of stuff out, and you think you got it down, and then, there's an ant. You know, today I drove over to church, okay? We haven't started walking yet to church, but that might take us 2 days. But we drove over, and I got out of the car, and I looked, and here was an ant rode over on the hood. How in the world did that ant hang on at 55 miles an hour? I don't know, but he was there. So I thought, hey, he needed a ride. He was picking, well, come over to Sunbury to visit some family and stuff. And flipped him off of there. I'm sure he'll be back by the time church is out. Take him back home, right? Well, you know, pride is just like those ants. Pride is just like those little ants. It's just when you think you got rid of it, you know what? They find another way in. And just when you think you got a hold on it, they find another way in. As a matter of fact, Jonathan Edwards, probably one of the greatest Christian minds that ever lived. You know what he said? He said, "I think I confessed to the sin of pride at least 50 times a day." See, we are never too big that we don't need the shepherd. David, king of Israel, writer of most of the Psalms, declares, "The Lord is my shepherd." How much more does Dave Dressler, in the world in which he lives, need to recognize every day that the Lord is my shepherd? Well, we're going to look here at this, some of this aspect, okay? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. First of all, as we look at this, we're going to put together a few thoughts. I think it goes up to E, so we got six things we're going to talk about here very quickly. And you said, you can't do anything quickly. I told you about the ants quickly, didn't I? Any disturbance or intruder scares the sheep. Isn't that the truth? You know, if we're not careful, here's what we do. We think that we're spending our whole life trying to be strong. And to tell you the truth, it doesn't take a whole lot to rattle sheep. And if I'm a sheep, guess what? Doesn't take a whole lot to rattle me if I want to be honest. It is, once again, that stinking pride that sneaks into my life that says I can handle everything. Well, my shepherd can handle everything, and I am his sheep, and he is the one who is going to keep me safe. He's going to protect me. He's going to provide for me. Amen? Amen. I think it's getting through. Amen? When we see this, okay? Watch this. It's going to explain a little bit more. They are very fearful animals and cannot lie down unless they feel totally secure. See, I've not been a shepherd, so I don't know how sheep are, but there are books out on it, and they say the sheep are really... That's why it says, "He leadeth me beside the still waters," because rustling waters get the sheep all worked up. And when sheep are all worked up, guess what? They don't eat. And they're miserable. And they get sick. And so we have a good shepherd. What does he do? He makes us feel totally secure. I want to ask you this question today, because I got to ask myself this question. Am I finding my security in the shepherd and the ability and the character of Jesus? Or am I... here's what I'm doing. I'm sitting there. Oh, everything's going to work out all right. Everything's just going to work out all right. What happens when it doesn't? Come on now, amen? What happens when it doesn't? It's still all right because it is our shepherd. If we go back to last week's lesson, it is we are yoked with him. He's sovereign. And when you put all these things together, it's like, man, I am in a win-win situation unless I'm like that sheep walking all the time. I'd get down on all fours, but I don't know. I already laid down once today. That's enough. Did all my calisthenics early. So what do we have here? Do we feel so totally secure in Christ? Now you might say, well, are you talking about my salvation? Sure. Okay, yeah. We have security of the believer. I understand that. But do you feel totally secure in your life today that he is directing, that he is taking care of us, and that the rumblings that we hear in our world around us, you know, we think we're unique to everything. Oh, I've never seen this before, really. How about the Black Plague? Go back in history and look at things. This isn't the first time the world's been a mess. We just think it's a worse mess now because we're here. Watch this. God, or the Lord Jesus Christ, is our shepherd, period. Amen? Amen. And if anything, you know what it ought to do in our life? It ought to produce a confidence. Not confidence in my own ability, but confidence in the fact that my God can do anything. Amen? Come on now, amen? And you take that with you today And people will start talking to you, and they'll say, "Ah, you don't seem to be real rattled." Well, let me tell you about the one who's taking care of me. Amen. Had a phone call on Thursday, and the lady, she's just struggling with salvation. And before we hung up on the phone, she's pouring her heart out and trusting Christ as her Savior. And that's just wonderful. Amen. It's the good news, folks. Do we find ourselves totally secure in Him? David uses the eloquent language to express his view of the abundant care God gives to His people when he says, "He maketh me lie down in green pastures." God's, okay, and then see, is this? Sheep are afraid of fast-flowing streams. Screams. Fast-flowing streams. That'd get everybody worked up. No, it's streams, okay? I get my talk all mixed up, or my mix all talked up, right? However you want to figure that out. Is this God's provision of still waters has a soothing effect and causes the sheep to be calm. Now watch this. Here's something else for you to consider. It's the deep waters that are still. It's not the shallow waters. Amen? And so a lot of times we don't want to be near the deep waters, but that's where it's going to be the stillest. And then D is this, is the shepherd refreshes his people with his quiet voice and gentle touch. So we see this as, for this reason, the sheep know the shepherd and are known by him. Now that's, we're going back, we're mixing Psalm 23 with John chapter 10 in verse 14, where he says, "My sheep hear my voice." I'll never forget growing up in the Dressler household. Kathy, you'll like this because she's my cousin and so. But I can remember every night my mom tucking me in bed. Now, when I was a real little guy, when I was a real little shaver like Rad's age, she used to tie me in bed. So, and when she told me that, and then I used it as an illustration a couple times, and she said, "David, I didn't tie you in bed like that." But you know what? I'm married. I'm married 45 years, and I still stick my leg out. Karen ties me in bed, you know. I run through the house. I used to run through the house. I didn't know that. I was so little. And, you know, Rad's not going to remember 99% of the stuff he's doing, and neither did we at his age. Amen? But I'll never forget the soothing words of my mother when she tucked me in bed and said, "David, I love you." Yeah. I'll never forget that. As a matter of fact, I really will never forget that whenever I would be a rascal, and I know that you never will believe that would ever happen in my life, that I was an angel my whole life, but she would not tell me that she loved me. And she'd walk out of the bedroom and I'd say, "I love you." And I'd lay there and think, "What happens if she dies tonight?" Boy, that was terrible. Amen? Watch this. We hear the voice of the shepherd. "My sheep hear my voice." And what does it do? It refreshes us. We call it this way in the scriptures. He is the still small voice. Amen? Oh yeah, that's our shepherd. That's our shepherd. See, for this reason, the sheep know the shepherd and are known by him. The loving actions of the shepherd proceed from his nature. You know, there's a lot of times in our life where we get worked up, and especially with our children, and sometimes we have to apologize to them. I know you've never done that. It only ever happened to me. But you know what? Here's the thing. We can't even compare the relationship that we have with the shepherd to a parenting relationship because his relationship with us is perfect. Amen? Jesus never has to come to us and say, "Boy, I'll tell you what, I just had a lot going on in the other side of the world and you just weren't." No. Isn't that wonderful? Let's get tuned to hear him. And so we see also here is this, is that, And I realize this is an exhaustive list, but it does take us to some things. And we'll continue on here. The shepherd is with us even in what seems the most difficult and troubling situations. And see, I only read down to verse 3 of Psalm 23, but and there's some other things to talk about there, but verse 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Watch this. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So the shepherd is with us, even in what seems the most difficult and troubling situations in our life. Ancient shepherds used the rod and staff to rescue, protect, and guide the sheep. Thus, they become symbols of the good shepherd's loving care over his flock. The sheep are not alone. Their shepherd is standing over them, guiding them into safety, just as the Lord stands over us and protects us. Well, we'll move on from there. We can look at other passages, or time's out. But you see, I only got that far on your sheet, too, so it's not like I cut anything short. But I want us to realize today, as we consider, first of all, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd, these are just some things for us to consider today in my walk with Him. You might look around the room and say, we come from so many different stations of life, so many different ways of life, yet if we know the Lord Jesus Christ, we're sheep and He's our shepherd, and we have this guarantee that He is our shepherd. We have His protection. We have His hearing His voice, that refreshedness that comes. We have His care in our lives. And yet, you're going to have to listen an awful long time in our world to have anybody tell you that. Because everybody around us wants to tell us that they care about us. And that is only if we follow them. You and I, let's keep our eyes on the shepherd. Let's listen to His voice. Let's walk with Him. Amen?